Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
The latest rage for kids is driving entire neighborhoods crazy. It's called
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
That's like an alarm clock.
With Dusty Hera.
Well, you want to woo-woo.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
It's that woo-woo.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080.
They think it's a fad. It's going to go away. It's not going away. It's driving me nuts.
The Fan.
You know, this song reminds me of Marshawn Lynch driving the golf cart at Cal, because they did the video with this playing in the background. And we did discuss Marcus Peters in the salute to his cousin, Marshawn, in the Raiders-Rams game.
I thought you were going to say the Marshawn high school photo from Oakland.
Oh, my God. We didn't talk about that either. Did you see that Oakland Tech picture?
Yeah, I didn't even recognize him.
He looks like a small child.
Yeah, he does.
And then he looked like a hardened grizzly veteran who's been in the scraggly woods for about eight years in the side-by-side picture of him then and now.
I saw a tweet of that side-by-side. It says, you on LinkedIn versus you on Twitter. It's like the professional one versus like the hard.
But no, Marcus Peters did the dive into the end zone crotch grab salute to Marshawn like he did when he was a Seahawk, which he became so famous for.
Gonna be fined?
Yeah.
That would be a yes.
Those guys have had an interesting on-field history. Remember, Marshawn got suspended and ejected last year for running on the field to come to Marcus Peters' defense.
They're dudes. They live together in Oakland.
I believe they're cousins.
Some of the stories that they... didn't they have that Facebook show together?
Yeah.
It was hysterical.
Yep, where they rode the subway.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Bart.
Yeah.
Yeah, after that game, they both took Bart from the stadium together after that fight game. Okay, anyways, a quick update. Remember, our football team that we are arbitrarily rooting for this year is Tulane.
I saw that they won.
They picked up a big win, last week over Nicholls State, who beat Kansas.
Go Green Wave.
It's in training camp in the gates of hell.
Yeah.
It is.
Thibodeau leading.
I just had a really bad vision. Moving on.
Okay.
Sorry.
They have this week we have UAB on the road.
UAB.
Tulane.
You weed them up already? Come on.
That's we.
Okay.
They're our team.
They're our team. And then we go to Ohio State. That's going to be a tough one, guys.
I'm still protesting, but okay. I'll accept it.
I want to know if this team can beat the spread week in and week out. That's how I'll judge the Wave's success.
All right. Let's go ATS against the spread weekly. For our Tulane Green Wave. Right now, we do it every Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Time for the Nugs.
North.
Gaskin might go the distance. Washington is back in the game. Touchdown, Husky.
South.
Herbert, play action. The deep shot. Touchdown, Oregon.
East.
There's a lot of people. It's like Woodstock, except everybody's got their clothes on.
West.
He's going to house it again. 78 yards for Artavis Pierce. Touchdown, Oregon State.
It's time for the Northwest Nuggets.
McNugget Hera would definitely be
Wait
down.
A
look at the area's top Pac-12 teams.
I'm a Ducks fan.
Part of Dusty and Cam on 1080 The Fan.
All right, where we start... The first game for the Northwest Schools, 2 o'clock on the right here on The Fan. Oregon Ducks hosting San Jose State. 2 o'clock kick. You know, Marcus Arroyo was the quarterback for the San Jose State Spartans in 1998 when they made a trip to Autzen Stadium. Now he is the offensive coordinator for the Ducks, and his quarterback, Justin Herbert, looks to fare better than the pick six that Arroyo threw against the Ducks in that game. As you know, Herbert is second nationally in touchdown passes with 9. And he's got a couple that have been dropped this year. And if you look at efficiency, He had two interceptions in that opener. He is the only quarterback to have in all of college football, to have a quarterback rating of over 200 and have two interceptions this year. He has been wildly efficient outside of those two throws in the second half where he arguably shouldn't have even been in the game. He has a completion percentage of 64%. He's thrown for 530 yards, averaging 11.9 yards per attempt this year. Nine touchdowns, just two interceptions. Herbert's special, man.
And just think if everybody caught those touchdowns.
He's got a couple left on the field, too.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? So that game, 2 o'clock right here on The Fan. Our pregame coverage, as always, starts 4 hours before kickoff.
Is there going to be another Yeti giveaway?
Yeah, every week.
God.
Find me in the parking lot,
folks. I'm stealing that from you. You're not going to have it this week. I'm just telling you right now.
You know what? You have to go down to Eugene to get them. They're all stored in Eugene.
Doesn't matter. I'm stealing it anyway.
And
I'm going to give you a styrofoam one to give away.
Here's what we need to do. You guys need to get there early because our pregame show that I'm giving away the Yeti is 4 hours from 4 hours to 2 hours before kickoff. So you need to find. I had a bunch of people tweeting at me, "Hey, come find me at 9:15." Our portion of the pregame was already done last week at 9:15. Yeah. You got to get me early, man.
Think ahead.
Yeah, send me where you're at, and I'll come find you. All right. Next game up for the Northwest is Oregon State hitting the road for Nevada, 4 o'clock. On ESPN Trace. Yeah. ESPN 3.
Oh, the Ocho?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Hans.
The only way you'll be able to watch the Beavs is on the internet.
Yeah.
That sucks. But we always say this. Why do Pac-12 teams go and play on the road against Mountain West teams?
Dumb.
It is dumb, unless you're Oregon State.
Oh.
Here's my little nug. Last time the Beavs hit the road and played at Nevada... It was 1999. A brand new head coach was stepping in his first year, and his first road game, Dennis Erickson. And the Beavers ended a lengthy road losing streak that year. Also giving Dennis Erickson his first road win. And guess who the quarterback was then?
Yes.
Jonathan Smith. Was the quarterback engineering the game-winning drive in that game. And they look to end a road losing streak of 20 games this weekend against Nevada on the road. And that year, it sparked the Beavers to end their 28 consecutive losing seasons and make it to a bowl game. So going to Nevada has been a bright spot for the Beavs in the past.
So it makes sense to go on the road. Play in Vegas.
Reno.
Oh, my bad.
I knew
that. World's biggest little city.
It's a dump.
It is a dump. Thank you. I'm glad I didn't have to say that first. You know my feelings on Reno.
No, I know. It's a dump.
I've got family that lives there, too, and that makes me sad to say that.
No, it doesn't. Just be honest.
Reno's a dump.
It's your opinion.
All right. Next up, it is the Cougs. 5 o'clock kick on the Pac-12 Network. Guy Haberman, Ryan Leaf, and Cindy Brunson on the call as the Cougs host Eastern Washington.
Well, this is a pretty big rivalry for the Cougs. I hope you understand
that's
that the Eastern Washington Eagles. This is a storied rivalry. In fact, the series at 3-1. 3-1 is how many times they've played each other 4 times. But those of us remember the last time they matched up against Bo Baldwin in 2016, the Cougs had lost 45-42. So there's a little payback. In fact, Mike Leach's first victory came in 2012 versus Eastern Washington Eagles, and that score was 24-20. You want to talk about close games? I'm saying this game's going to be close, but you know why it shouldn't be close? Because the Cougs right now with Tracy Clays, and I know Alex Grinch, he took off for Ohio State. You thought you lost your defense, but right now, let's get pumped up, Cougs. You are the number 3 defense in the nation.
Oh.
Say that with me. Number 3 total defense in the nation, giving up 165 yards per game. Who would have thunk it that a Mike Leach team is going to be in the top 10 in defense? It's my nugget.
That is a great nugget. Mike Leach protecting his defense. Imagine that. The big one, though, in the Pac-12 this weekend is the 7 o'clock kick on ESPN. It's Mark Jones. No. Steve Levy, Brian Greasy, Todd McShay on the call as the Huskies hit the road for Salt Lake City and the Utes of Utah.
I'm already excited for the Grease Master, Mr. Greasy.
The Grease Master?
He's good.
Hopefully it's not a grease fire.
No, he's good. Very, 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 very good. Brian Griese and I played in an all-star game together, so he's a great guy.
Did you?
Yeah, the Huskies. We're going to stay on the defensive side because last year Washington was a top 10 defense. In fact, they finished the year number 8 in the nation in defense. The year before, they finished in the top 3 in the nation in defense. And they're known for their defense, but currently, right now, they head into this game. Here's your nugget for you dog fans. Number 55 in the nation. Now all that goes with playing an Auburn team. You're giving up 341 yards per game on defense, so you're going to have to make a big improvement. But what the true test is going to be going into this game is Utah. The Utah Utes going into this game. Number 1 in the nation in total defense at 143 yards per game. You made a prediction. You think it's going to be 6-9? It might be 12-10.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But it's going to be a low-scoring game.
They have to play better defense. 55 in the nation is not going to get it done versus Utah.
Kyle Whittingham spoke about what makes this such a good matchup the last handful of years.
The punt return did us in a couple years back, and then Jake Browning engineering that field goal drive last year. And so, you know, it's been competitive. We got to find a way to try to get over that hump. And you know, they're a heck of a football team. You know, you look at them on tape and you don't see any weaknesses. I mean, they're solid at every position and well-coached and disciplined and got playmakers. So they're as balanced a team as there is in the country, in my opinion.
If you don't remember last year, Utes had the dogs for naught. They had them locked up. 2 minutes left in the game. Kyle Whittingham makes an absolute blunder and calls a timeout, stops the game, gives Washington a shot, gives them the football back. Jake Browning makes a couple throws, game over.
You
can't make those kind of mistakes as a coach, and now you're in Rice Eccles. We've seen a couple times the last few years. It's been special teams and a few just mental errors that have kept Washington to be able to beat the Utes. So I don't know what we see this week, but this might be one of those games where it's just going to be one mistake decides it.
You know what it would be in the NFL?
What would it be?
Obviously a tie, you know, a tie.
These two teams would play to a draw, is my belief.
Kissing sisters.
Did you say Utes?
Yeah, two Utes.
Two Utes.
What is a Ute?
You with the Utes.
All right, those are the nugs. We give them to you every Wednesday at 8 a.m. All right, we talked about it earlier in the show. Money talks in college football. But where does winning come into the amount of money? Forbes released its valuations of college football programs. It's pretty staggering how much money they're raking in, but not a couple of the teams that are in title contention. 8:15 on the Fan. Money talks in college football. We all know that. You got to have the bells and whistles to shine in all of college football. And Forbes ranked their valuations of the most valuable college football programs in the country. And, you know, it should be noted, A&M is number one, $148 million in revenue last year. Texas, two, at $133 million. Michigan, Alabama tied at $127 million, while Ohio State chiming in fifth, $120 million. Oregon is 12th, $92 million. USC, 18. Washington, 19. Those are the only Pac-12 schools. But one thing that is glaring, and we talked about this earlier, number two team in the country, national champion a couple years ago, Clemson is not in on this list, which is a little bit surprising. But also, it's not surprising that they're good because, I mean, they have a slide in their facility, you know? Like, it's not like they're broke and they're not, they're just not in the top 25 of revenues this year in college football. If you want to be a national title contender, you have to be on this list of top 25, and only three Pac-12 schools are. That's a problem for the conference.
Wait, is it a problem or is it just to show you that the priority of college football doesn't carry the same amount of cachet here on the coast? I've said it now for three straight years. You have to pay for it to get the recruits. You have to be able to look like you know what you're doing. And financially, your investment, I said it earlier in the show, no, there's more revenue on our coast than there is in Texas and in Alabama and in Michigan. When we talk about businesses, we talk about property values, revenue. I mean, this is a very, you have to be able to just look at cost of living in our state compared, and in California compared to Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, a house in California that's on the beach is $6 million, $8 million. $8 million would buy you the entire Corpus Christi. I mean, it's just, that's the difference between valuation. Well,
We talked to Joel Klatt last week. Yeah. Remember when I said in Norman, Oklahoma, are you looking at houses? And he said, yeah, I'm selling my house for eight of them out here in Norman. Like, yeah. That's the truth. Yeah, he lives in Newport Beach, California, by the way.
So your dollar goes farther. And does your dollar go farther in Texas A&M than it does here in the Pac-12? If you look at teams like Cal, who is exorbitantly in debt. I mean, their head coach is the lowest paid coach, and he's probably one of the best coaches in the conference. You see teams like UCLA who are well-funded but continue to underachieve. And you see all these things about the conference, and then you measure up against, is it about money? And did Oregon buy their success?
That's silly that Oregon, you know, I love that. Phil Knight took Oregon to a completely different height. Mm-hmm. That is 100% the truth. But Rich Brooks built Oregon up to a point where they needed a boost to get to the next level.
Yeah.
And that's what you do. I mean, they went to a Rose Bowl without Phil Knight having season tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and then they get to the next level with his interest and his money. That's how all these programs are.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of guys that are backers. Everybody would love, everybody in the country right now, if you told me that there was your golden ticket, if you had your hidden booster that would inject tons of revenue into it, you'd take it tomorrow.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even bat an eyelash at it. So anybody that goes, well, it's Phil Knight and do that. Look, you're just jealous. Because yep. There's no other explanation for it.
You know,
without it, you don't have, and Oregon knows that.
Yeah.
And when Phil Knight is no longer on the, well, I think Phil's going to be 81 this year. Okay. Will they be the same? Will they have the same connection? I don't know. I can't answer that question to you. But Oregon right now has done everything they could to stay relevant, and they're in the top 25 because they have a brand.
They do. Brands are huge.
Yeah.
Brands, money, and coaching are huge. That's why Texas is so confusing to me. Why can they not be good? Like, honestly, what went wrong at Texas to where they went from contending for national titles to unranked? Like, that.
You're asking a Husky. You're asking that question to somebody that's stare you right in the face and tell you that by the time 2001 hit, program was dead.
Yeah.
For well over a decade. And it happens. It happens very quickly in college football. Let me ask you what happened to Alabama in the 90s and the early 2000s. Can you reference any Alabama players that you remember?
Right.
What happens and what changes in college football? It is so cyclical. The shifts, the ebbs and flows, a bad coach here, three bad recruiting classes, and you're in the doldrums. You can't even tell me. Michigan was inept. Not even relevant. Zero interest.
Mm-hmm.
None. Okay. Ohio State was in what? Jim Tressel had it back, but there were times when I look at great, I mean, we sat here 3 years ago, Dusty, and who did we say was the most underwhelming program of all time? Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
Always kind of in the conversation, but never gets over the hump. Kind of that team in the backdrop, and they found a great coach, and the revenue kicks. This is college football. Yeah. This is sports. It can come and go as fast as you can. So when you ask that Texas question is that Texas could bounce at any point in time because of their money.
But, and that's the thing, is they were dominant. And, you know, the difference with, like, when Washington dipped down is that this is the time and the place where Texas is always in a talent-rich state. It always has its, you know, an anchor on the state. It's always had money. It's always had everything. Like, all of the inherent advantages that you would ever want from a program,
yeah. They
have had. Like, Washington is a great program, and they have been great. But they had a disadvantage of being isolated up in the north, up in the Pacific Northwest, where you're pulling kids from California. You're mm-hmm. pulling kids from all across the country. Like, Texas is just mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing to me.
It's really sick. Go to any rich neighborhood. Okay, and walk around the rich neighborhood and see the houses. Let's use Lake Oswego and just take mm-hmm. one street in Lake Oswego and walk right down the street, and you can find software guy, business guy, doctor like that. Walk into their house. Do they have a great family life?
No.
Just because they got money and they got a shiny car and a beautiful modern home and they, you know, have whatever, their season tickets, and they fly around, doesn't mean that the family's functional. You could have 18 different kids. You could have three different marriages. Guy could be on his fourth wife.
Yeah.
That's Texas right now. Texas has had dysfunction. Even though they're shiny and they have beautiful cars and they got all the dudes, you need stability at coach. That's why from every era, it all circles around the discipline and the consistency of your coach. Your coach is everything. When Nick Saban shows up, everything changes. When Dabo Swinney shows up, everything changes. Kirby Smart, everything changes. That's what Washington has found with Chris Peterson, and hopefully that's what every program looks for in the in their team. That's what USC's going through it right now, man. Going right through it.
You can't buy a championship. The three of the top 10 teams in revenue aren't even close to being title contenders when you think of A&M, Texas, and Florida. But it sure goes a long way. It sure goes a long way to buying a championship.
Well, it's helpful.
But
slightly helpful.
Everything that we're outlining here is exactly why there is these ebbs and flows. Money's a big part, but it's just a part.
85 scholarships in college football right now. The average scholarship's around $35,000 per year for players. That's just a shade under $3 million of investment for just your football team. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's extrapolate that out to $148 million of revenue for Texas A&M. You do the math on the percentage of investment that the players are actually doing, and then look at the rest of the revenue and where it's going. Where does it got to go to? Beautiful stadium. It's got to go pay Jimbo Fisher $75 million over 10 years. Are the players getting the backhand of it?
No, they're not getting.
They're still getting something.
Yeah.
Should. That's why I believe that college football is doing a disservice and not offering another 15 scholarships to programs. Another 15, another 10. I think it's a disservice that you can't offer 10 more walk-on scholarships. I think it's a real problem that you have to cap it at 85 because they found this arbitrary number that said this is equal. If you can pay for it, the lie, here's the biggest lie in college football. You know, this is going to be the argument. I have 85 scholarships. Well, guess who can't buy 85? Oregon State can't afford another 15. They can't afford another 20. Oregon State's not going to be in the conversation anyway. So what are we lying about? It's not fair. You want to know what's not fair? 25 teams right there. 25 teams in the top revenue. Doesn't matter if you add another 10 scholarships or 30. Those teams that don't have it will never be there anyway. It's called the lie.
That's why I think they should just give a stipend to players that they currently have, you know? I mean, but it's the same. We're both talking about doing the same thing, and just in different ways. Redistribute that money to the student athletes. In some way, shape, or form.
Okay, I still don't believe college football players should be paid a check. I think they should be able to have their likeness, and if they want to sell some autographs on the side and sign some Nikes, no problem. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the university should pay them money. I think they should give them a 401k and insurance that they can get once they graduate. Those are the two things I think you can do. But not just don't hand them cash during the season.
I think you could bump their stipend up.
Cost of living, if you want to
talk. Bump your stipend up.
That's fine, a couple thousand or maybe something like that. But we're not, it's too hard to tell me that you're going to pay a quarterback different and a running back. There's no, these guys need to invest in their future, healthcare, 401k, and then let use their likeness, is how I would get around it.
Yeah.
Stop telling me that a coach can have a Me Too issue where he's going to miss three games and a player can have a YouTube channel and he's the bad guy.
Yeah. I think that. That's why I
lose an entire season for a money. YouTube channel, and a coach can do all this crap and gets slap on the wrist.
There's way too much money available that some of these kids that live in like squalor because they can't afford it because they don't come from anything. Yeah. You know, they should get I think they should get their likeness. They should be able to sign autographs and make money off of it. They should also get a little extra walk around cash. So, you know, they can have a decent life. I'm not asking them, don't be millionaires. Don't have them living this extravagant life, but give them a little something extra on top of all those things that you said. I think they should get it all because
get it all.
The money is sitting right in front of us. We see it. We see it all. Title IX obviously has a big problem in that.
I don't believe in you should get anything. You need to earn it.
Well, they are earning it.
Some are.
That's why you're looking at $148 million that
not every
Texas A&M is making.
Not every kid that gets a scholarship earns it. Not every kid gets that. He did the work to get there. Some of them are just gifted. Once you get to the university, how do you decide who earns it and who doesn't?
Well, your university's obviously making money off of them, so that would be earning it, you know? I mean, that is.
But the fourth string offensive lineman that's just going to be a four-year guy that gets his degree, does he earn it the same as Justin Herbert?
No, that's not how it works, though. Yeah. You know,
That's the difficult part.
Is it really, though?
I think so.
That would be the hard part?
It'd be very difficult to see a four-year Letterman that was just a third-string guy that was sounded really good, but maybe hurt his leg and had a medical redshirt, and then he gets the same amount as Justin Herbert. That'd be very difficult to sell that to a locker room of young kids. It wouldn't be good.
It's not. It's just walk around. It's not an extra amount of money, though. It's just a couple grand a month. Yeah. It's not like we're sitting there, or not a couple grand a month, but a couple grand a term that you're talking. All right. 55305, better you today, text line. Texas A&M makes a ton of money, $148 million in revenues a year ago. We have got a walk-off, Bach, and communism in football. But first is Buck with sports.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
With the sundown shining in.
What movie does this remind you of?
A Western?
No, The Big Lebowski. Big Lebowski.
Gosh, it's been a while since I've seen that movie.
Yeah, it's the scene where he has his whole, like, he gets his drink spiked and he has the weird dream sequence.
Yeah, his dream sequence where he's flying through and Maude has the ball flying through the air. No? You're not a Big Lebowski fan?
It's all right. It's a good movie.
Love that movie. Calmer than you are, dude. You want to talk some communism?
Sure.
Okay. Pat Fitzgerald is the head coach at Northwestern, and he has a pretty interesting football comparison.
Yeah, it's communism. I mean, it's a pure RPO is the purest form of communism. I mean, I don't understand how offensive linemen can be downfield. I know. Well, it used to be when you and I played, when you tripped and fell down, it was an illegal man downfield. Now, if you're just an uncovered lineman and you go 2.3 yards, it's not a penalty. But if you go three, it is. And nobody can see it till after the ball's thrown. So, again, it's the rules. You can complain all you want. I mean, I want to get it fixed, I guess I can beg to get on the rules committee.
Gosh, is he right or what?
No. He gave a little bit more detail.
It's the most in vogue change, I think, in football, that if you're a purist of football, it's not the game. It's not. I mean, people downfield blocking and the ball being thrown should be illegal. But as a defensive head coach with defense in my background, we will absolutely 100% take full advantage within the frameworks of the rules that are given to us. So RPO forever.
RPO forever.
So sarcastic. I love that finish.
Yeah.
I think it's a trend. It's one of those goofy trends. And I do think that's a problem. That's a major problem. You have offensive linemen down the field blocking, and then your quarterback tucks, and then, and then I'll just throw it anyway.
Well, I believe Marcus Mariota was hurt on an RPO this weekend. He took a hit after faking a handoff or after giving the handoff because they're running that action.
All bets are off. If you're going to do that to your quarterback, all bets are off. And as a defensive coach, I would tell my guys to stick their shoulder in the solar plexus every single time a quarterback does that. Every single time.
Yeah, but as you've said, like the RPO, the idea of it has been around for years. I mean, it's nothing really new.
It's just how it's built now. It's different. When your offensive line didn't go downfield as far, but Brett Favre, we went through this in the analysis side of Brett Favre calling the hot and the smoke and just having that quick when it's an off coverage. And I'm like, look, I get this here. I'm not going to hand this off. I'm going to throw a quick dart route. That's been around. Now it's just egregious. It is. Because how do you justify? Do you know what 2.3 yards is?
No, I don't. I don't.
In the movement of a player down the field?
No. I think Pat Fitzgerald may... The communism... I don't understand...
The connection?
The purest form of communism?
Well, everybody gets it. I think it's more
socialism.
It's kind of what it is, isn't it?
I think it's more socialism than communism. But I don't know.
Everybody benefits.
He went to Northwestern.
He did. He's...
I went to a directional school, so I shouldn't be the one here. Mm-hmm. But I love that. I think it's hilarious when coaches go off on those diatribes and ideas because it's just like he's just sitting there and he's like, I don't want to just sit there. He doesn't want to be stuck in the coach speak translator. He doesn't want to do that. Mm-mm. He doesn't want to go there. Mm-mm. He wants his own twist on something that a lot of coaches say, and he did it.
Yeah.
And we don't... The coach speak translator is breaking because we can't figure out what Pat Fitzgerald is getting at there.
Yeah, we're very confused.
But all I know, he doesn't like it.
Yeah, let me translate. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
We've
seen this before. Don't you remember when Nick Saban came out and said, this non-huddle thing.
This hurry-up thing is
trendy. I don't like this. We need to find a way to fix it.
Players are going to get hurt. He's throwing everything out there.
Guess what happened? He started doing that.
Well, yeah, because he found a guy that could run it and win him a national title doing it.
I know. It's just what happens. Football is the biggest copycat sport of any sport in the history of sports. It is. Everybody has run every system. Just ask everything. Everybody starts with one system and goes, okay, it was the triple option. Then it was the T offense. And then it was the run and shoot of Eric Coryell. And then you got in the West Coast system. And then you had New England style. And then you brought in Chip Kelly and the hurry up and the blur. And then it's RPO this and our. It's just full of trends.
Yeah. Yeah. And this texture, Better You Today text line 55305 says, receivers picks are BS too. Picks have been around since the invention of the forward pass.
Oh, yeah.
A pick play by a receiver. You just have to be crafty in doing it.
You have to look like you're going out on a route and mysteriously rub the guy.
Whatever you do, don't do what Washington's receiver did against Auburn.
Oh, God.
That was the worst.
It was really bad.
The worst pick play I've ever seen.
Our coaches, once I got to the league, you would see referees out at our practice.
Yeah.
And they
all of them have now.
And we got trained to the point where you in college practices and a lot of high school practices, you know how many times you're holding and you're just doing bad fundamentals?
Yeah.
You can't police that. But if you have guys, I had referees throwing flags all over the place in NFL practice. So you get to the point where you have to practice like you're going to play and everyone comes in and puts their hands up. That's really bad.
Yeah. I have a buddy, like all the programs now they bring them all in almost every practice. You have officials at your practices now. But I have a buddy of mine who he's done some of the practices around the area and like they'll do the write-ups on it. Like, oh, there was, so-and-so.
Egregious fouls.
How many holding calls? He always sends me a picture and says, yeah, half of these are called by me. He's like, it's brutal out there, man.
He just does it anyway.
Practice is brutal out there.
And nobody cares. In fact, by the time you throw that flag at us during inside run, we'll come back to huddle and go, we're going to kill that referee right now.
I love flags. I love it. Okay, 55305, Better You Today text line. A walk-off in the worst fashion possible to end the Northwest League season. That's a very confusing sentence. I'll explain it later. Dustin Camp on the Fan. All right, the Northwest League had its championship series underway last night. And it was a deciding game between the Eugene Emeralds and the Chiefs of Spokane. The Northwest League is the short season single A league that encompasses Eugene, Boise, Spokane, Vancouver, BC, Hillsboro, Salem, and Everett. I believe those are the teams in the league.
Oh, there are a bunch of them. Everett, really? Tri-Cities.
I did not say Tri-Cities. Did not have them in there. But last night was the championship game down in Eugene. Let me set the table for you. Bottom of the ninth inning. Bases loaded. Tie game between the Emeralds and the Chiefs. And the M's are at the plate. Where'd it go? Oh, there it is.
At the very least, they've sent this thing to extra innings. Class A delivers. He balked! He balked! And the Emeralds win the championship on a balk! The bad news M's are the champions of the Northwest League. And how else would it end but a walk to tie it, a balk to win it, and that's it. He stumbled and darn near fell over, dropping the ball. The Emeralds are mobbing each other at home plate. They have won the championship in the oddest way you will ever, ever see. The weirdest thing you'll ever see, but the bad news, Ems, will raise the banner in 2018.
Do you want to raise the banner in a walk-off balk?
Take it any way you can get it.
Oh my gosh, how brutal is that?
Was that the announcing play though?
Is that the video I saw of the ball just going straight right? He tripped.
Oh no, that was that happened in the major leagues last night. Oh, that's national Phillies. But yeah, that also was very weird.
No, this guy
is a straight balk off.
And by the way, that is courtesy of MILB TV.
Nice.
That's Minor League Baseball TV. No, the pitcher just kind of like he went to set out of the stretch, and then when he started to rock back, he just stumbled forward a little bit. Balk, game over, and the batter looked so confused. He was just like looking around like, wait a minute.
Man, what happened?
I think we just won. Mm. And then that's how your season ends.
You celebrate right it?
There. Oh, take it? Heck yeah, you do.
They celebrated hard.
Did they? Did they have the carbonated apple cider in the dugout?
I wonder how many of those guys are of drinking age.
Uh-huh.
Do you think they care?
That's baseball and it's purest is to have everything tarped off. You got to celebrate. Remember, baseball is the most egregious celebrating sport of any sport in the world.
How long ago was 21 years ago? 97? 1997, was that 21 years ago? So they have one. It looks like they only have one guy that's not old enough to drink yet. Mm. So they, two.
Two.
They three, oh, three guys. They got three guys that are not of drinking age. So I would assume all of them got hammered, including those young guys.
Raise the banner.
Raise the banner off on a walk-off balk.
Get you excited.
Golly. Hop should have won it. Hop should have won it. That's all I'm saying.
Should they have?
No, they lost it.
Bad news M's. That's what it is? Yeah. Bad news M's.
According to our announcer friend, he kind of reminded me of this announcer.
And this just became one of the worst days I have had in quite some time.
Laptop guy. Laptop guy snapped his laptop on a foul ball back there.
Uh-oh.
He did sound a lot like Laptop Guy.
I was wondering if it was like the same guy, if it's another minor league, you know, roving announcer for minor league baseball.com.
I would bet if you played 50 minor league baseball announcers, TV or radio, they would all sound the same. Right.
That's entirely possible.
I bet you it's a lot like the IMG. You know, IMG carries like a bunch of college networks.
Yes.
Like all their guys got to sound the same.
Oh, they sound like this.
Like who's the new guy at UW?
Catch Tour.
Whoever it is sounds exactly like Matt Chazanow.
I kid you not.
And
they're perfectly sound. It's like they go to broadcast school and they must talk like this.
You've got to turn it on.
You enunciated everything you can.
Minor league. It's like if you have a different voice, it's like, oh, you're minor league baseball guy.
Tony Ketchikor.
Tony Ketchikor.
Ketchikor.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And then
I got to say it right.
As all of the old school guys are like
Anthony.
Mike Tony. Parker, and who's Mike Parker.
Mike
Learfield.
Parker.
Doc. He's got a unique voice. Jerry Allen has a really unique voice. All these young guys sound the same.
They do.
Is that what old people
Bob
used to
already.
Say back in the day?
I miss Bob, but I'll get used to it.
All right, up next is The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Nine
to see you right back in the game.
To three is Durton Sprague. 3-7 primetime with Isaac and Suk. Hey, have a great Wednesday. We will see you tomorrow right here on 1080 The Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.